Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Very soon, we're going to be speaking to the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services. They today held their budget vote debate, and lots coming out of that sitting. In fact, if you were watching, you'd see there are already tensions there. You know that Dr. Tlhope sits there in that committee and had a lot to say. The EFF also had a lot to say there. Quite unhappy and scathing of the proposed budget that was delivered by the minister. And, you know, their concerns, whether you like Dr. Tlhope or not, he came with experience. You could hear today talking about how the budget constraints are going to affect justice, you know, for access to justice is going to be something that's going to be compromised with the kind of budgets that we are seeing. This budget is not looking good, I've got to tell you. When you compare it 2023-2024 to 2025, 2023-2024 compared to 2025, it's not looking good. Many of the political parties are really not happy with what we are seeing. And it does seem like it's going to take some time. There are programs that are going to have to wait, according to the minister, because there just isn't enough money. This seems to be one of those departments that's going to take a little bit longer to move certain things ahead. I would like to hear from you whether, you know, how do you feel if you are able to see the budget vote? Were you, you know, how did you feel about it? Some of the points that were made by the minister. Also, the state of the courts. The state of the courts is something that they're concerned about. I am still surprised why the issue of security in the courts is taking so long to deal with. Security of personnel, security of the documents in the courts, just security overall. Something that the minister spoke about, saying, look, you know, we're going to get around to it. We're going to get some sort of a program going to try and manage security. I think it's unacceptable. I mean, that should be sort of one of those things that are done without even having to flinch. But budgets are a problem. There will be a slight increase on salaries, which I think will be nice. There are some other budget allocations that I think are going to be interesting. There is a slight focus on GBV. They are saying that they're going to do more to make sure that, you know, there is justice. The minister was scathing about how families are treated. And those who are struggling to get, you know, whether they are payouts for their families, once they're deceased family members, saying, look, you know, we need to improve our services. In the end, there needs to be more effort brought into this sector, particularly with regards to corruption, saying, look, officials are just not doing their thing. So let me bring in the minister at this very point in time, Minister Thembinga Dimeng, who is the Minister of Justice, on the line with us. I really appreciate you giving the time, Minister. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, Pamela, and good evening to the listeners.
I was briefly just talking about your budget vote today and some of the things that you brought to the fore. Minister, just maybe, you know, high level, give us a sense of where you'd want to focus your energies with regards to your budget when you want to focus on the GBV issue. You said this is one of the issues that you feel needs to be getting attention.
Well, thank you very much, Pamela. I think the key issues that need the whole concept of access to justice for every South African, which is enshrined in the Constitution, and the service points of our departments are found wanting. The postponement of court cases because of either of our system, our filing, or whatever is not appropriate. The master's court, your partner, husband passed away, you and the children will take 3 years to be able to wrap up the estate. Came out very well, but the corruption in terms of the custody that the department is giving with regard to the Guardians Fund and any other beneficiaries that are supposed to benefit from the proceeds of their loved ones, which are managed by the Master Court, it just shows. And it's a whole system thinking type of a thing. If you go to a master's court now, you're likely to find it closed. Of course, I'm saying now in the evening, but I'm meaning in the yes. normal hour of the day.
Yes.
If you had gotten there today, you were likely to find a board which says,
come back tomorrow.
We're not in operation, check us tomorrow or something. That is uncalled for. So we're working on serious digitization and linking up our system with Home Affairs, and serves for starters to be able to expect. I mean, your death is registered at Home Affairs as a contact point. So for the master's office not to be linked with SARS and the system of Home Affairs, I don't understand, coming from a government perspective, why we can't just take that smile and ensure that, at least from a notification point of view, for you to come to us, already having some preparation being made by us in terms of being alert of what would have happened in your family, particularly if you are registered as a South African and you are a beneficiary of a constitution that allows you access to justice. So it's more about systems thinking of what will be taking priority in trying to redress the situation. But do you receive access and really ensuring that justice takes place if you walk into a court of law, whether you are being affected domestically in terms of GBDF violence or any other criminal procedure matter? Is our role on, can they find your file? Can there be less postponement on the basis of, we can't find your file, we can't find an interpreter, with all these system problems? There were four cases, if I'm not wrong, just last week, which were had to be struck off the roll of theft, precisely because the witnesses were not paid by the department to go to court to appeal. And can you imagine if that burglary happened in your house and the case can't be heard because one link of the chain system did not do its part, and therefore a witness couldn't come, and the prosecutor says, no, I've been calling this person and he's sitting here, he's a child offender. He's going back to prison, but nobody is saying what exactly has he or she committed. You know, so I think we need to limit as much as we can what becomes the obstruction to justice for everybody else. If you are a victim, you need to see justice being done. If you are a perpetrator, your case needs to be concluded in time, timeously, as much as possible, so you can begin your sentence. So those are the key priorities of issues that we're looking at in terms of dealing with our budget into participating and ensuring that those cases are dealt with speedily.
You know, you, as you're saying that, there are other things that you touched on. You spoke about modernization of the system. This has been an ongoing thing. There was also a point that was raised by Dr. Hlophe about the fact that, look, some of these systems, even as they are starting to improve, for instance, there would be no electricity, so there'd be no network. And then that kind of affects the entire chain, as you said earlier.
Exactly. So we will be, for example, rolling out generators into, we can't do all of our courts in one financial year.
Sure.
If my figures are right, we'll be trying to deal with about 180 or so generators and boreholes in some of the areas, just to minimize the fact that there's no water and therefore court can't function. I mean, you can't even use an ablution facility. And think about judges who have to sit in that and magistrate in that building for the whole day trying to push the roll. Then it becomes unhygienic and unbearable. And that leads to the infrastructure in the main lies with the Department of Public Works. But through the discussion with the department, we had received a threshold of about 1 million repairs. And our discussion in the next week with National Treasury is to request just an upping to be able to deal with leakages, for example, which makes it unbearable, to deal with small issues like patches of a generator, borehole and whatever, to make sure that the control system operates. If we get that better, we should be able. But with the limit that we have, we can still be able to roll out generators. We can still be able to roll out boreholes in the far rural areas where court and justice is usually interrupted because of such service delivery challenges.
You have allocated slightly more for personnel. And very recently there was, you know, dissatisfaction with magistrates who say, you know, ultimately they feel like the stepchild in the entire system. Just maybe talk to us a little bit about what focus you're going to have specifically on magistrates who, as I was saying, feel like they are the last to come into the agenda of anything that's been discussed.
Well, I'm hoping also, Pamela, that I will be able to shoot them. in the not so distant future, just to have a discussion with the magistrate themselves to get to understand them. But what National Treasury has been able to give us a relief is on the issue with regard to compensation of employees and offsetting the COLA, the outer year cost of living adjustment, which will go a long way. I think they allocated us about 1.2 billion in the cost of living adjustment. It will be able to match the salary because it's not an increase, but it's the automatic percent that you get as the adjustment of inflation goes, which every employee in the public service does get. And they've been lagging behind, not only them and judges as well. There is a bracket of judges in terms of the OSD, which when the calculation of the skills dispensation got to be done, there were discrepancies in terms of entries of years, experience and all that. So we've been having and sitting with this gap. And you can imagine if a case, or rather a court sits Monday to Friday, and on average, a magistrate deal with no less than 40 cases in a week. And they still have to go after hours and write judgments because it's usually most of the time sitting all the day, almost the whole day, dealing with cases, which means you're hearing Tendis, you're hearing Pomelos, you're hearing the other, and later on you've got to adjust your own time and try to catch up so that you ensure that justice is served. And it does look like we need quite a different dispensation, which is flexible and understand that there may be hours. And if we are planning for a backlog reduction, let's say the small claims court, which ultimately our people are discouraged in using, besides the threshold that the money you can claim is limited, but there is very understaffing there, such that most of the time, magistrates and other legal professionals volunteer after hour to hear your small claims make. What does that suggest? It means the proper categorization, employment, and paying the people back. If you don't pay them back, they simply look for other alternatives, and you remain with not servicing your people who are justifiably by the Constitution supposed to receive a particular type of a service. So their cry is loud and very well understood that we need to look into a different dispensation, treat each and every set. Have you ever heard of the cases where judges are called, let's say, to issue an interdict or something at night, and they come to court
urgent one,
at 21 hours for the agent application? So you can't treat them as a normal dispensation. Yes, there is a dispensation that calculates that. But if you look at it and compare it to the medical practitioners, for example, who are servicing the hospital, and they get called for an MVA at night, which is a motor vehicle accident, which was not planned for, but it needs a specialist. You see that there's a huge distinction between that dispensation and for the legal practitioner's dispensation.
Minister, there's a lot to talk about. When we have time, I think we'll give you much more time, but really appreciate you talking to us today, and all the best for tomorrow.
Thank you very much. I need it.
Thank you, Minister.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister of Correctional Services and Constitutional Development.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.